Got an email from a PR person saying, I'd like to offer you the founder of Health Passport Worldwide, Robert Quirk, who can unpack how he built the model that is able to test for COVID a stadium crowd of 65,000 within 8 hours. Robert Quirk is in the city for a while, and I'm delighted on the other end of a phone line to me, founder of Health Passport Worldwide. Good afternoon, Robert.
Good afternoon, John. Thanks for having me.
How can you do it?
Well, we've done it. So we built the process, we built the system, and really this is about implementing, you know, tried and tested processes, testing solutions and technology, you know, to efficiently screen, you know, high volumes of people. The Health Passport system has been launched to do two things. So one is to support the healthcare sector, so to allow them and enable them to be more efficient in terms of testing processes. And then number two, of course, to help to reopen economy and society. So the process to test, you know, safely high volumes of people has already been developed and is being, you know, rolled out across a couple of countries in Europe. So we're very, very happy and delighted to be here now in South Africa to support the local economy.
Because what you've got to do, I mean, you've got to persuade the authorities that the testing results that you deliver through this process are reliable. And I suppose you've got to convince the crowds. Let's assume there's a rugby match at the Cape Town Stadium tomorrow. It's the start of our prep for the Rainbow Cup that we hope we're able to play in. And let's say there's a crowd of 25,000 that want to go there. They'd have to arrive a few hours before so they can be tested, get their test results back, loaded onto their cell phone so that when they go into the stadium, they can show that they are COVID-19 negative. What you've got to do is persuade the authorities that that is a reliable test, and you've got to persuade the people who might want to go that if they're told they are negative, that other people who told they are negative, that that will be reliable and that they won't be at risk.
That's absolutely correct. And the point there is that the test solutions that are being used in South Africa have already been approved by the government. So we only would ever work with, you know, testing solutions or systems or test kits that have already been authorized for use in this country. So, for example, we're working with Roche test kits, which are approved through with SD Biosensor as a manufacturer, but that's a rapid antigen test. So in that then, I suppose you need to look at what we would define as risk stratification or risk mitigation. So let's take, for example, we all social distance, so the risk element drops. We wear a mask, the risk element drops. We sanitize, the risk element drops further. But you know what? We can also now test, and we can test very efficiently within a short period of time, and that drops the risk right down. And, you know, with the projects we're working on and the trial events and the trial solutions we put into the market, and, you know, the authorities and the public feel certainly significantly more protected after being tested, knowing that they just had a test within the last, you know, 15, 20 minutes. And so certainly it's about reducing the risk as much as possible, but also striking a fine balance between, okay, there is a global pandemic and this is a serious, serious problem. However, equally, at an equal level in terms of a problem is the economy and, you know, job losses and, you know, businesses having to close. So we need to strike a balance to say, well, okay, we understand there's a pandemic in the world, but at the same time, you know, people need to live and the economy needs to thrive again. So striking a balance there between that is what this system does. So it mitigates the risk, reduces the potential for transmitting the virus, and in doing so then allows business to look at reopening safely again.
Now, I find that very convincing, but I'm not the person you have to convince. You have to convince authorities, and authorities tend to be cautious around this kind of thing, because if they authorize the Health Passport Worldwide to come into Cape Town to govern attendance at concerts or exhibitions or rugby matches or football matches, and one of those is identified then as a super spreader event, they don't want to have the finger of blame pointed at them for having authorized the Health Passport Worldwide to govern those protocols. And I don't know how many governments, whether they're local governments or regional governments or national governments, you've managed to convince to allow you to put this into practice.
Well, I think it's a matter of working together, collaborating. So it's moving together in the same direction. So, you know, no doctor or no healthcare facility and indeed no government will tell you that one particular type of test or one particular type of technology is a silver bullet or the magic solution. And that's not really what this is about. This is about coming together and saying, okay, we all know what the problem is, but for some reason everyone is running around, you know, with a different solution or a different idea, when actually the solution is there right in front of us. And so it's about working together with local authorities and working together with the city. Now, the people of Cape Town and people of South Africa have been absolutely terrific. They understand that there's a problem here, and they clearly understand that there's a solution here as well. So they've been absolutely very, very receptive to the solution and to how this can help to reopen tourism and economy again. So if you imagine, like today, there should be 11 million passengers passing through Cape Town Airport, and that's dropped by 90%. Which is, you know, obviously has a terrible toll on the local economy here. So having systems and processes in place which can be implemented to create efficiencies is absolutely what's required. So the idea of 10 million people walking up to the airport with waving a piece of paper saying, oh, look, I had a test, or oh, look, I had a vaccination, it's just not reality, and it's not scalable, it's not a solution. So digital technology is there as a tool to be used, and that's exactly what this is. When we go back to the testing piece, the sort of argument around the type of test, so these tests are already being used to open up borders in Europe. So if you're flying
not
from,
here, I mean here in South no, Africa, here, we're still no. requiring a PCR test, not the antigen test.
And that's okay. I mean, that's how it was in Europe for quite a while. But, you know, as research improves and understanding improves and the testing accuracy improves, and so do the options available to us. So, if you're flying from Ireland to the Netherlands today, you have to do a rapid antigen test. If you're driving your truck across the border from Austria into Italy, you do a rapid antigen test. And you know, where South Africa is today is actually in a great position because they can accelerate their response to dealing with this problem based on international learnings. And that's what we want to do here. We want to bring the best of the operational procedures, the testing solutions, to the technology that's already been proven in the world, and bring it here as a solution.
I was reading something from KLM yesterday. If you want to, people from the Netherlands are allowed to fly to South Africa on KLM. There's a much, much more restricted set of passengers on the way back. But if you want to get onto that KLM flight from Schiphol to OR Tambo, you have to have a 72-hour PCR test, and you have to have a rapid antigen test within an hour of boarding. So it's not quite as relaxed as you suggest it is becoming, Robert.
Well, for the cross-border in Europe, for example, I know that if you're a truck driver and you're getting on a ferry from, you know, Ireland into France, or indeed from Italy into Austria, all that's required in that instance is a rapid antigen test. You know, that's all that's required there, and those testing centres are set up. When we look at other local authorities and other governments who are implementing solutions like this, so for example, in Portugal and the Algarve, there's a very, very advanced initiative there to reopen tourism this year based around rapid testing. If you look at what's happening in places like the Balearic Islands and Ibiza, again, you know, very advanced solutions there to reopen based on rapid testing. So tourists fly in and, you know, they have a PCR test before they fly, but they stay for a week, 2 weeks, sometimes a month. And during that period, if there was a festival on or an event on, that they would go and have a rapid antigen test at a testing center, have the result in 50 minutes, and then, you know, that buys a certain period of time where they can go to a festival, go to an event, and start to, you know, enjoy life again.
Robert, we have to leave it there. We're out of time, but thank you very much for talking to us. Really appreciate it. Robert Quirk, founder of Health Passport Worldwide.